There was a time when a cell phone main purpose was to call somebody or to be able to be called. But with the advent of technology and smartphones, anybody sitting with a smartphone? It's like at the touch of a button, speaking to someone is just a sideline thing. It's like now the smartphone just opens up a whole lot of world of communication, of social interaction, of banking, buying, visiting people, face-to-face, talking. It's opened up, in the last 10 years or so, a whole new world, a whole new dimension. And I was thinking this morning that often in our church language, repentance used to just be about, I need to get my life right with God. Repent, brother, the kingdom is near. But what about there's a whole new world waiting for those who will dare have their minds changed to what God has made available through his kingdom. When you were born again, there's like a piece of copper wire got put inside you. And you are now a tangible conductor between God's resources and promises and the world's lack and need. I mean, just think of it like that. Repentance is not just, I need to stop doing naughty things so God can be good to me again. Repentance deals with that, but repentance is so much more than just the phone call. God help me. It's a whole new world of knowing that Jesus came to demonstrate the life that you and I are called to show the world. Wow. That's not religion. Come on. That's not a memorial service. That's not me getting up here and telling you about how wonderful Jesus used to be or how wonderful he is going to be. Hello? That's about me telling you right here, right now, his kingdom has broken in. And for those who will say, God, I'm going to start seeing things from your perspective. When you look at your mountain and say, I'm no longer going to see you through my natural vision. I'm going to receive a new vision from heaven. And in this conduct of mine, which is the Holy Spirit, which connects me to heaven's resources, I've been given an advantage that's even greater than what John the Baptist had. John the Baptist was said to be the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. And Jesus said, but the least of you will be greater than him. You see, he was talking because Jesus, through the eyes of faith, saw his spirit being poured out. That connecting point, the comforter, God in us, the hope of glory, living tangibly inside of us to bring heaven's resources, heaven's wisdom, heaven's words, heaven's understanding into the world that is lacking and desperately dry and barren, powerless, lifeless. That's Christianity. That's the purpose of the church. So sorry if you did come for memorial service this morning for me to tell you how wonderful he was and the great things he did, and let's admire him until one day when we're standing at the rapture bus stop, he'll come and whiff us off to heaven, save us out of the mess. I can't do that this morning. I've got to tell you, Jesus is so more real than the person sitting next to you here this morning, that his Holy Spirit in you is so much more real than the clothes you got on your body, that his word is still the constitution of heaven. It is the truth. It's the life. It's the light of our way. Nothing's changed. God's purpose still are for his kingdom to break into this world. And if it hasn't happened, it's because the church has never believed what he said. Come on. I'm glad to be waking up to some truths. I'm glad grace came and swept dead orthodox out of the way and in its place, placed something that is full of boldness and access. Because everything Jesus died to achieve wasn't for himself. It was for you to be accessed through faith for now, not just for when you die. And that's why we have church on Sunday. Amen. Amen. Come on. That's why we take time off and get together, because we want to be stirred up and fanned up and worship together. And on that note, nice to see you back, James. Hey. Took a nice 5-week holiday. He needed it. Desperately needed it. He's been in this on this team for 10 years. 12 years in total. And I don't think you've ever taken so much leave. No, he hasn't. So that was a good, well-deserved break. And any of you, are there any visitors here this morning? I want to welcome you. I want to be known as a happy, friendly church. Anybody? Welcome, 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 welcome. Nice to see you over there. Anybody? I don't want to miss. Welcome. You'll see on my right-hand side here, there's couches. Please, after the service, come here. Someone will be here with coffee. Is that right, Shane? Will someone be here? Who's that going to be? Okay, stand up, Shane. There's our welcoming. Very hospitable. You'll see him sitting over there with a free cappuccino. And did everybody get this when they came in? Is that okay? We don't spend 20 minutes on this now? Would you prefer that? Would you prefer I call everybody up one at a time and explain to you what's already written down? No. So it's all there, okay? It's all there. And hey, aren't those cool dudes on the back over there? Have a good look. Come on. Those are the champions. I'm very much grateful to these men of God, anointed leaders in this house, because there's no ways one person can pastor and run and do everything in the church. And seeing that the church has gone from 4 pastors to 1 pastor, these people are very, very, I'm very privileged to have this team, and so are you privileged to have this team. Amen? So just put that on your fridge, put a magnet there. Oh, yes, and then on the front there, help needed at Highway. Did you notice that? We need your help. So if in one of those areas you can help us. I had a really good news encounter this week with someone who came and said, I don't know if he wants to be identified, yeah? But he just came and said, he knows we've been slapped with this auditor's bill, and he knows we've been slapped with this other lighting thing we've got to do for power cuts. And then he knows we've got to put these cages up on the for the insurance purposes on the aircons, and that's like 12 grand, and we've been looking at quotes. And he said, I'll do it for you for free. That'll just be a blessing to the church. So that's nice, you know. And people step forward like that. Appreciate. In fact, we got to, wait, just before we do that. Do you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 3? I'm going to share something here that I really trust is going to be helpful. Now, you know why we turn to the Bible and study things like worship? Why we turn to the Bible and study things like the gifts of the Spirit? Why we turn to the Bible and study things like the Holy Spirit? Is because only as information under the Holy Spirit becomes revelation can we act in faith on it. Amen? So we teach into topics. And there was one topic Jesus spoke a lot about, and that was the area of finances. And he did that not just for his health, but he did it for the health of other people. Because you know, money is a big deal in our lives. Money is a big deal. What we do with it and what we don't do with it is a big deal. And unless we've got some revelation on this topic, we can't act in faith. In Proverbs 3 verse 9 it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Isn't that a beautiful passage of scripture? Who wants to honor God? I mean, if you're born again and you have tasted of the goodness of Jesus, we all want to honor him. But thankfully, we also live in a covenant where we know we don't earn God's blessing and favor by what we do or don't do. We live in his favor because of what Jesus did, and we access what Jesus did by faith. So he's looking for faith people to walk in blessing, in his favor, but people who want to honor him. And one of the ways we honor God is by having a cheerful, loving, overflowing, generous spirit. Where we doing things out of the love for those things. Okay, let me not get ahead of myself. I want to put this in a New Testament context quickly. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 7. And I want to introduce three characters while you're turning there. I want to introduce to you a man by the name of Abraham. Give it up for Abraham. Okay. Abraham was an amazing guy. I mean, God appears to him in Genesis 15 and says, I want to bless you. And the reason God showed up in Genesis 15 and said, I want to bless you, is because God just wanted to bless him. I know that's very deep. I'll let that sink for a while. Without his performance, without anything else, God said, I'm going to bless you. Okay. Then we got this other character, Melchizedek. Won't you come with me, Melchizedek? Melchizedek is a king of Salem, and he's also a priest of the Most High God. God had a priesthood in the earth. Why did God have a priesthood? Because that would represent the speaking of God and the dealing with God through a delegated authority on earth. And so you've got Abraham, you've got Melchizedek, you've got another character here by the name of Levi. Who looks like a Levi? Terry, you look like a bit of a Levi in your Levi's. Come here, Terry. Levi. Come on, imagine a Leb with the surname of Levi. Okay, Levi. Now, Levi was one of the tribes of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, sons. So Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had sons. And one of the tribes, of these 11 tribes, there was this Levi tribe, and they became the priests in the order of Melchizedek. And in a sense, he came after Abraham. He was born after Abraham. He has a chronological time of it, sort of. Go stand close there, please, Abraham. Abe and Mel are together there. Levi comes. And in a sense, Levi himself, although he's in a stage called the law system, it was where God elected a nation through which to bring Messiah. He would have a priesthood and the tabernacle and the sacrifices to preserve it through a nation, the coming Messiah. So his old purposes from eternity were watched over and stewarded in the thing called the priesthood and the tabernacle and the temple activities through the Levites. They didn't have a job. They took tithes from the people until the time that Jesus would come. And Jesus would be given the greatest priesthood. There was a priesthood there was a priesthood here, but then the greatest of all priesthood comes. And this priest, Jesus, makes all of us priests. Isn't that awesome? We all become priests, and the church of the living God becomes the instrument whereby the gospel is preached, whereby the kingdom that God planned from eternity before the fall, he's going to bring about. So that principalities and powers can recognize that it's through the church his manifold wisdom is displayed to rulers and nations. One of Levi's sons was a guy by the name of Aaron. He was around the time of Moses, which is quite a while after Abraham. So I just want to introduce those three characters. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your assistance. Because as we start reading through this, I'm going to shoot some of those scriptures, Ash, just on, so you'll know some of the stuff I said here was biblical. Not the jokes, just all the other stuff. Romans 4 verse 11, talking about Abraham. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised. Say, Abraham is my father, because I believe. Galatians 3 verse 7, knowing then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Father Abraham. Abraham embodied a covenant of grace. Say, Abraham's my father. the gospel was first preached to Abraham, as we see. And only then the law system came into being. Galatians 3:16. Now the promise were made to Abraham and his offspring. It did not say to many offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. See, the covenant was made between God and Christ. And to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterwards, does not annul, a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. If the inheritance comes by the law, it's no longer of a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. And so great was Abraham that this passage we're about to look at now in Hebrews 7, it says in verse 4 that, see how great this man was who Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of his spoils. So Abraham is this great man of faith. Abraham had the gospel preached. But this guy, it says, look how great he was. Why was he greater than him? He carried a mantle as a priest of God on earth that God delegated. And Abraham recognized that and honored God with his first fruits. And how did he honor God? He gave him. He didn't give to get a blessing from him, because we see the blessing only came afterwards. Can you see why Abraham is called the father of our faith? The gospel was announced to Abraham. In Abraham, the covenant of grace is so beautifully seen. And then in verse 9 of chapter 7, he goes on and says, one might even say that Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. So it's almost saying, Abraham's this great father of our faith, but he gave to this guy who represented a priesthood that even Levi acknowledged this was a better priesthood. Because the priesthood they were ultimately bringing in was the Messiah. Can you see why he was the greater priest? And even Levi and Abraham honored God through them. That was the way God seems to have set about provision for his work on earth, was through the priesthood. Only now we're ready to read from verse 1. You got your Bible in front of you? Hebrews chapter 7. If not, it'll come up on the board here. Amen. Everyone with me? Those three people, please meet me afterwards. I just want to shake your hand. Thank you for being with me. I should say, am I with you? Hey, am I with you? Okay, I'm with you. All right. Right, first one. Here we go. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He, Melchizedek, is first by translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then he is also King of Salem. That is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother, genealogy, having neither beginning nor days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues as a priest forever. Type of the priest that was going to be forever. Very important. Melchizedek was a type of the priest that would be forever. The law was only a parenthesis of that priesthood because of their stubborn hearts. Okay. Verse 5. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law, to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though those also are descendants from Abraham. And Paul's very careful now to show you the law's role. Verse 11. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? That was the Levitical guys. But see, here's God's better plan. Verse 18. For on the one hand, a A form of commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law makes nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. Verse 22. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. Verse 23. The former priests were many in number, one at a time, not at the same time, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost. Reminds me of our old Pentecostal preacher. From the guttermost to the uttermost. Those who draw near to God through him. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now that's an intriguing, wonderful passage in Hebrews chapter 7. But we need to put the right glasses on here. And we need to ask ourselves, what's the main thing he's talking about here? It's about the priesthood. He's showing that there was a priesthood before the law. There was a priesthood during the law. And now there's a much better priesthood. So he's speaking to this mixed church, Hebrews and Christians, and trying to explain to them who Jesus is. This church was probably in Jerusalem. And the only reason he didn't put his name on it, I believe, is because they would have killed him. Because this is how radical it was for them. Come on, we don't get that. We read this like, oh, Melchizedek, Levi, Moses, Abraham. For these guys, it was, what? Are you telling us that he's greater than our forefather Abraham? Saying, no, not only that, but the priesthood is greater than your forefather Abraham. And that priesthood was a priesthood representing grace long before law. It was in parenthesis for a time of sacrifice and priesthood. And then it came into a new and better. So that's the main thing. All the other stuff about giving and tithing and who gave to, that's kind of secondary to the main point here. Priesthood, before, during, after. But then it just so happens, because the New Testament is very silent on the tithing that we read, honor God with your tithe. But Jesus talks a lot about generosity, giving. Paul speaks a lot about partnership in the gospel, generosity, giving, sowing, bread for the eater, seed for the sower. God will enlarge your crops, your harvest of so that you can be generous on every occasion, having all your needs met. My God can supply all your needs according to riches and glory. But pretty quiet on this word that sends some Christians into shock. Tithe Moses. Here he talks about it, but in the context of a priesthood. And here's a rule of exegesis. When anything passes through the cross and is not spoken about again, there's a reason. And there's probably a reason that the principle hasn't changed. But when something comes through the cross and it's clearly changed in the new covenant, now how did Jesus change it? How did Paul change it? How does the New Testament change it? One, it's no longer compulsion. There's no longer a fear of curse. We're going to go to Malachi one Sunday. We're going to reread Malachi through New Testament glasses. And you won't feel so scared of Malachi that you have to tear it out your Bible. Oh, don't go to Malachi. It's the Old Testament. It's a beautiful passage. Malachi, that book. After you're going to love it when we get there. It's powerful. There's no curse. There's no fear. There's a sense of, I get to honor God by bringing him my first fruits, tithe, whatever else you want to call it. It's not the tithe and offering of the law, because that was actually 33%, not 10%, by the way. So I bring a big healthy chunk of what I've earned and received from God, because it all belongs to him. I'm going to give it back as a culture of honor and worship and adoration. That is in the New Testament. And this endorses that. Because the same priesthood that needed resources to get on with the job then and under an inferior law still needs resources and finances for that priesthood to get the job done on planet Earth. Amen? And that's why we looked last week at Philippians for their partnership in the gospel. And my God shall supply all your needs. Is this lighting something up for you? I've had a few people come recently, you know, because we've been stuck in positional grace for so long now that some people have come to me and said, well, what does the Bible say about money? So I thought, well, let me take some time, because only Janet knows how difficult it is for me to talk about money. That's true. Because I get nauseous when I hear some of the stuff on TV and some of this pleading and begging and my daddy's going to die and my brother's going to be sold into slavery if you don't give to this ministry. I'm embarrassed. But you know, I shouldn't allow my embarrassment to stop me preaching the truth. Because when we preach the truth, people get revelation and then they got somewhere for their faith to get put in so they can change gears into a new level of understanding. And God wants us to walk in increase. And God wants us to walk in fruitfulness. And He wants the storehouse of our giving to increase so we can be generous on every occasion. He wants us to learn to eat our bread and be thankful and bring our seed gratefully, cheerfully, with hearts that are generous. And He promises that where you put your seed in the ground, it's going to bring forth a harvest. It's going to multiply. Oh, Lord, Steve, you're going back to law preaching. You're saying God will only bless me if I give. No, I did not say that. I said God is good all the time. He reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous. But if you want to have some return on your seed, here's a hot tip. Eat your bread. Don't also eat your seed. Because if you eat your seed, you've got nothing to put in the ground. Then you'll just get by meal, by meal, by meal, by meal, by meal. And you'll say, well, I don't know if this stuff doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work because you've never done it. Well, you know, I don't believe this works today. Well, you know, that's what you're going to get. Because the new covenant is a faith covenant. The old covenant, Abraham Melchizedek was a faith covenant. Then it got messed up by works for a long time. And now a whole lot of Christians want to tear Malachi and Jesus and all these other verses out of the Bible just because they don't understand them. So I hope some revelation is coming here this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, honoring God is still for us today. We honor God when we bring our offerings, our tithing, our giving, our generosity. Call it what you like. If you've got too much baggage on the word tithe because of what it represented, find a new word. But I'm telling you, from the word of God and all the conviction I can muster, it is still Proverbs 3, honoring God for the church today. Amen. Let's stand up to our feet. I want to pray. We're going to do an item. Lord, we thank you for your people. And in fact, we're going to do two things. Those taking up the offering, will you come up, please?